If you got a bulletin, you can get out the sermon kind of notes that are going to follow along with the slides. But we talked about this last week, that we got to make up our mind. Who is Jesus? It matters who we say he is in our lives. That doesn't make him who he is. He already is who he is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is none higher. And he is coming back, and he's coming back to rule and to reign. He is coming back to set everything straight. He's coming back as judge. We know that he is able. He has authority. So if we call him Lord, that means he's then our boss. He is our king. And if we call him Lord, when we look at who a king is, the great highest king, no is not an acceptable answer to a king. And you know, we were talking about how would we prepare for a meeting with going, you know, if the president invited us to come to the White House or something, you know, at home, we were talking about that. Man, we would be excited about it, right? My little granddaughter, Hannah, some of you guys know Hannah, she wrote a letter to the president. And she actually got a response. She got a letter back from him that was signed, you know. And I mean, it was a typed letter. But not everybody gets a response. And she was so excited about it, guys. She came over to visit last week, and she had made copies for everybody. Okay? She had copies already prepared because she wanted all of us to be able to share in her joy. Guys, that's just the President of the United States. What about when God invites us to come into his presence? Should we be excited? Oh man, that should be what we prepare for. And he is inviting you each and every day. And ultimately, at the end of our life, to physically be with him. How amazing is that? And yet, we treat going to church or being with our loved ones are taking prayer time in the morning like this obligation, like we're being made to do it. And dare I say, unfortunately, sometimes we tell God no. And sometimes he calls us to do certain things that are hard. And dare I say, maybe sometimes some of us may have even rebuked him. I have. I'll just confess it before you. There's been times whenever I said no to God, and I said, God, why are you doing this? No. Guys, sometimes God calls us to hard things. But I want us to explore just a little bit today, as we kind of bring up the PowerPoint, what kind of spirit, what spirit rebukes Jesus? He's going to kind of reveal it to us just point blank here today. Now, if we go backwards a little bit in time, last week we talked about how he was nearing Caesarea Philippi, and he asked, who do people say that I am? And this is a very pagan place. And then we talked, you know, last Sunday night about literally, this was like the place where they worshiped Pan, and there was this spring of water flowing out of this cave, and it was well known among the pagan community that this was like the gate to the underworld. Well, Satan tries to take a little too much credit sometimes. Amen? But here's the deal. It was recognized then like it was almost like the gate to hell. And so Jesus was standing right there on near that piece of property, and he says, on that proclamation of faith that Peter gave, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you know, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And he wasn't just talking about on Peter. He was talking about on the rock of the gospel proclamation, on who Jesus is, the essence of who he is. He's going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So they had a visual image that they were looking at, or close to looking at, whenever he was saying these very words. And man, what a pinnacle moment. What a mountaintop moment. And we went back to the Gospel of Matthew, which kind of parallels this, and we find out that Jesus just really compliments Peter on what he said. And he said, in fact, this wasn't revealed to you by man, but by God. Even before he proclaimed that was going to be the foundation. And so then we're going to kind of pick it up here back in Mark at verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. That would be hard. to hear, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be hard to hear? I can tell you, after I got saved, I really struggled with the fact that Jesus had to suffer and die for me. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but like, that's just overwhelming to me. I'm not worth it. You know, in my own mind, I just know that I am not worth the life of the Son of God. But you know what? He wanted us with Him that bad. It took me a long time to really deal with that, the heaviness of it. But He began to teach them right after this pinnacle moment that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. There's the key. There's where our joy rests, right there in that last part. But you know, sometimes we get stuck on the first part, and it's hard for us to get past it. He spoke this word openly, verse 32. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. But when He had turned around and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Let us pray. Dear God, Lord in heaven, help us to stay so close to You that Satan has no place in our life to use our mouth or our thoughts or our actions to try to discredit what You're doing. God, help us just to stay so close to You that no matter what You tell us is coming next, Lord, we are in it for good or for bad, but we know ultimately it's going to be for good. So help us to keep our eyes on You. Help us to look at these verses. This is the same Peter that was so blessed to be able to give that wonderful proclamation of who You are. The same Peter allowed himself to be used of Satan to rebuke Jesus. Help us, Lord, to take in these words and apply them to our lives that we not fall into that same trap. Let us not judge Peter. This was just his humanity being used. This was just his flesh being used. And we're going to talk about that. But Lord, I pray that You would strengthen us so that we're all in. We're totally in with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever notice that sometimes you get that good news, bad news proposition? Do you ever have that? You know, do you want the good news first or the bad news first? I myself like to get the bad news first. Let's just get it out of the way. I don't want to have that looming over my head when I get the good news. I just want to get the bad news and then get the good news, and that'll make me feel better. But you know, Peter kind of got the good news first, right? He got to proclaim the good news. He got to say it wholeheartedly, and he believed it wholeheartedly. And then he began to get this bad news. And so, you know, we need to hang in there while we're getting that bad news and realize that in the end, it's ultimately going to be all good news. Let's look at this thought. Hang in there and keep loving God, even when you're getting the bad news. You know, some news in and of itself is bad. You know, when you hear maybe, you know, the words that it's cancer, or you hear the words that you've lost somebody really close to you. Or you hear those words that, you know, maybe they're outlawing certain parts of what we do as Christians in some places of the world. Or you hear, you know, the news that God wants to do something through us that's going to make us really uncomfortable. Did you ever hear that news? I want you to get up and share your testimony in front of everybody. Have you ever heard that from God? Everybody's going, oh. He does want us to, folks. And I pray He'll make that very clear to you because that's part of how you praise Him for what He's done. That's part of how we are thankful, and that's part of how He wants to use you to touch other people's lives. But you know, no matter what it is that's going on in our lives, we want to hang in there and keep loving God, because here's a promise to those who love God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Oftentimes, the first part of that verse winds up getting taken out of context and used in and of itself. But that second part is the condition. Guys, I'm going to say that if we don't continue to love God or we haven't really answered the calling in our lives, we can't claim the first part of that promise. And so let's continue to love God no matter what is happening in our lives. Let's continue to love God no matter what the bad news is. Let's continue to work out that calling that He's called us to. And I can tell you, it will work out for your good in the long run. Accept His will. Ultimately, here's where it winds up being the choice. Accept His will or you're going to reject Jesus along with His will. We don't always look at it like that. We think, well, Jesus has given us options. It's kind of like we're at the smorgasbord line, you know, or the buffet line, and we're going through. You know, I have the option between chicken today or turkey or chicken or, you know, pork or whatever I may want. We live a life of many choices. Just go to Walmart and walk down an aisle. The choices overwhelm me. It's incredible. Do I get this one and it's so much per ounce, or do I get that one and it's so much per pound, and I'm over there doing the math and life's passing me by? Too many choices. And it, you know, there's no sin to that one. I can make either choice and everything's cool. But here's the thing, guys. If you decide to just reject Jesus' choice for your life, His will, it's not just an opinion. He's not just throwing out a bunch of options. He's telling you what He created you for. He's telling you what He's got in store for you. He tells us through His Word, and it's non-negotiable. He tells us in personal ways, just like that young lady we just heard. She's looking at this need, and she's saying, God, are you going to call somebody to this? And finally, she realized, maybe I need to ask Him if it's me. And whenever she agreed, she felt this peace. Guys, God was revealing His calling for her life. What if she would have just said no? What if she'd have just said no? You know, the crazy thing is, He don't run and tackle us whenever we do that. Most of the time, He's just still real quiet. He's a gentleman. Guys, I want you to understand, when you're rejecting God's will for your life, you're rejecting God Himself. This isn't just a pick or choose option on this thing. And just because He's patient and He don't knock us off our feet right there, don't mean He's agreeing with us. You see, if you are your own king, then you're sitting on your own throne, and there's no room for Jesus to be on the throne over that life. So let's let Him get on the throne. And when He was on His throne and He was speaking the word openly and He was telling them, I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to suffer. But Peter never listened to the but. He just started rebuking Him. And let me tell you, it wasn't just an easy word that Peter was doing. And it's a Greek word, and in classical Greek, it means literally censure or penalize. Dude, like, he was coming down on Jesus. He was punishing Jesus for opening up His mouth and telling the truth. Have you ever been there? Our human flesh is really strong. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. You know, a lot of times we blame everything on Satan. But I want you to know, our flesh is one of the hardest enemies we've got to deal with because we live in it. Sometimes we're so close to it, we don't even recognize it, but I can tell you, Satan knows how to use it. And that's where we really got to be on guard and guard against him using that. So don't reject Jesus along with His will. And then we want to look at how the fact that Satan can use any one of us that allows him to. Am I going to get an amen to this one? I thought about this line whenever I was writing it, and I thought, I wonder if we're going to be able to be agreed on this. Satan could use any of us at any time in a weak moment if we don't put God first in our lives. And so let's not get down on poor old Peter here. But let's realize that if we allow the flesh to control us, Satan can control our flesh. He can get in there and start tempting us to be controlled by our flesh. Now, he doesn't have like this ultimate powerful control over us. What he uses is temptation and deception. And our flesh is weaker than our spirit, than the spirit that lives in us, the Holy Spirit. And so if we're led by our flesh, we'll get ourselves in trouble. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But just imagine the same one who had just said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Peter." He must have been beaming at that moment. And then to hear these words, "Get behind me, Satan." And he wasn't calling Peter Satan. A lot of people have asked me that. He just saw that it was Satan speaking through his mouth. He was trying to discourage Jesus from what Jesus had to do. Rather than encouraging him, rather than saying, you know, "We're all in this together, Jesus," but instead he takes him off the side and he's letting him have it. And this is what Jesus says, "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." That's the key. In your life today, when you walked into this building, whenever you sat down in that pew, were you solely and only concerned about the things of God? Or do we end up having this little mixture of things going on in our mind and our hearts? You know what I'm saying? Well, here's the thing. I really want us to learn how to discern so that when we walk out those doors back there, we will know how to discern the will of God and to desire to do it. Now, I'm going to guarantee you, your flesh is going to march out against it nearly every time. Whenever you decide to do God's will, what happens? That sneaky feeling comes in from the back door. "You're going to be sorry. You decide to give that offering to IMB." And man, it's a big one when you're sitting here and you get close to that offering plate and it starts coming at you. Maybe I'm just picking. I don't know. I'm meddling now. It happens to me. You know, it happens to me. Whatever you know God showed you in the light, make sure you remember and don't let the devil talk you out of it in the darkness. Because I can guarantee you, you can't outgive God. Don't do it as a martyr. Do it out of a love relationship with him and watch what he does next. No matter what it is, he's going to bless you. Have in your mind the things of God, not the things of men. So how did the same Peter who professed Christ get used by Satan so quickly? Again, as we were just saying, through his flesh. Do I get an amen? Through his flesh. If we look at Romans 8, 7 through 8, it talks about, "Because the carnal mind," that's the fleshly mind, "is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Do you see how they're diametrically opposed? They're diametrically opposed. The flesh, it's impossible whenever we're just acting out of the flesh to be able to please God. And I can tell you, that's being tested all the time. I don't know about the rest of you guys. What kind of things does your flesh want you to do? Things that are really comfortable. Things that will comfort it. Things that will help to build it up. Sometimes, guys, we've got to actually make exercises in this. Just like you exercise your body to make it strong, exercise your spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life, to help it be stronger than your flesh. In fact, sometimes we may even have to beat the flesh down a little bit. Amen? Paul talked about that. We need to be willing to put the Spirit first. And let's not get down on Peter too much either. I'm going to give Peter a pass on this one. I'm going to go ahead and go to the next slide there. We're going to give him a free pass on it. And at the same time, we're going to realize we don't get that free pass. Because you want to understand, Peter had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit was working through him, and it was proclaiming things through him and things of that nature, but it wasn't until Acts chapter 2 that we see the Holy Spirit really come down on the church. And Peter was there, and he was praying, and he was waiting, and he wanted it, and he didn't know what it was going to be like, but I can tell you, as soon as they received it, big things started really going down, and things started happening, and here's the deal. If you're a Christian, you've got that Holy Spirit in you. You have got God living in you personally. Not an it. He's a him. He is the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity of God, and he lives in everyone who's a true believer in Jesus Christ. If you don't experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you need to ask God. You need to ask God to show you how to get your life right with Him and truly be in a relationship with Him. Now, you know, it's going to make... you're going to see different manifestations of this. Okay? And so some would say it's only whenever you speak in tongues. You know, there's denominations that are kind of built on that. And I do believe that there really is legitimate speaking in tongues. Okay? I do believe that it does happen for particular reasons at particular times to bring better understanding into things, not chaos. But it is, that is not the only manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, you may very well have the Holy Spirit in your life, and if God doesn't have a purpose for you to speak in tongues, you won't. But you can still have the Holy Spirit living in you, God living in you, because He promises to live in every one of His believers. And so here's one of the things that you're always going to see as a manifestation of God living in you, and it's going to be boldness to proclaim and to live out your Christian faith. I can't do it without God. Just like the song, the special music, you know, I can't do any of it without Him holding my hand. We need God living in us to be able to do the things He's calling us to do. And if He's calling you to do something that's impossible for you to do on your own, guess what, folks? That's kind of the plan. You're going to need Him to do those types of things. If we didn't need Him, then how would we ever know that we even have Him unless we do things that would be impossible for us and only possible for God? So we need to understand that if we're still just acting out of the flesh, we're really denying the Spirit. And so help us not to do that, O Lord. Help us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and willing to do whatever He calls us to do, even if it seems impossible at the time. Make sure it's Him. Don't do stupid things saying, watch this, I'm going to test God and I'm going to show He's real. But when you have truly discerned that the Holy Spirit wants you moving in a certain direction, do it. And you're going to find His grace and you're going to find out He's here. You, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And that's what He goes on to say in Romans 8, 9 through 10, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting here right now and you go, you know what, I don't think I've ever received the Spirit, And you're realizing right now that you need to surrender your heart to Jesus, do it. You better not even wait till the end of the service, because what if you're taking your last breath right now? What if you're taking your heart is beating its last beat just a moment from now? Don't put it off another moment. I can tell you, you do what God shows you to do right now, and God will bless you. What does that look like? It just really is turning away from ourselves and our sin and turning to God and asking Jesus to be our Lord, because we believe He died for us and we believe He rose again on the third day. We believe He is God and He is the only one who can help us. So turn your life over to Him right now. Maybe you're a Christian, you've been realizing at this moment during the sermon, there's still a little more to go. But I'm going to say, don't even wait. If you're realizing right now you need to rededicate your life to the Lord because you've been getting off straying off down the wrong path, just do it. Right where you're sitting, bow your head. Surrender your heart. Say, Jesus, I am sorry. I have gotten away from the path that You have had for me. Don't wait another moment. Just get your heart right with God. You know, what it sounds like, the way Peter's talking here, is it sounds like he doesn't want Jesus to suffer and go to the cross. But guys, here's something Peter knew. If they come after Jesus, they'll be coming after us next. He was in the group. He was part of the deal. I think Peter was avoiding his own cross, and I'll tell you why, because if we read the next verses, Jesus really expounds on this. So let's read verses 34 and on. And when he had called the people to himself, let's all stand for the reading of this area. If you can stand, I want us to personalize this morning. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, think he was including Peter in this? Whoever desires to come after me, do you think he's including us in this? Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Guys, losing your life don't mean that you have to physically die to first lose your life. Losing your life means give it to Jesus now. It means stop living it for me and start living it for Him. It means putting God's kingdom first, getting off the throne and letting Him have the throne of my life. Guys, if you're there already, then you'll know what I'm saying. If you've already given your life to Christ, you're not afraid to die anymore. You're not afraid that you might die accidentally somewhere out there because you understand your life is in Christ. He has your eternity. You're okay. You see, that's the difference. And he said, if you try to keep it, you're definitely going to lose it. But if you'll give it to him, that's when you gain it. And he goes on to say, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and his adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory and his Father with his holy angels. Let's pray. Dear God, as we read these words, as we see what Peter said, Lord, I can relate. I thank you that that wasn't the end of the story for Peter. I thank you that those weren't the last words he ever heard you say. But I thank you that, Lord, once he was reestablished, he was a champion for Jesus. He was a champion for you. He lived for you and he willingly died for you. But I know that death was only a temporary passageway for him to enter into your presence once again and live with you forever. Peter is there and he's experiencing what we long to experience because he made up his mind to give up his life for you. Lord, I pray that we would settle this thing right here and now, that we're going to give our lives fully to Jesus. That we're not going to wait another day, that we're not going to continue to struggle, or am I going to let the flesh rule, or am I going to let Jesus rule? But we'll make up our mind right here and now that we're going to let Jesus rule our lives. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, be King over my life. Father, I pray that then we won't keep trying to take that life back. But Lord, we'll get on board with you. We'll start getting in your word every day. We're going to start actually wanting to do what you are doing and what you're showing us to do. And Lord, I know what you're doing. You're always working in other people's hearts. You're always drawing people to yourself. You're always working in their lives, and you want us to be a part of the family business. So help us, Lord, to continue in that calling that you have for your church to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things which you have commanded, and remembering that you are with us always, even to the end of the age. We're not doing this just in our own strength, Lord. We are going to get our strength out of the way so you can be our strength. And your strength will never fail us. You are God. You are all-powerful. You are almighty. You are all-knowing. And so, Lord, we're gonna lean in on you. We're going to let you lead us, and we are going to become and be the church that you've called us to be. Body of Christ. Lord, there's a lost world out there, and they haven't a clue unless we show them the way. They're going to scorn us. They're going to rebuke us. They're going to punish us at times. But Lord, we can rejoice, your word tells us, so long as we know we're walking in your righteousness. So Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to continue to grow. And if we struggle again tomorrow, which I'm sure we will, help us to remember your words once again, repent, and continue down the path with you. Thank you, Lord, that you're always there. In Jesus' name, amen.